I realize that leadership is not necessarily leading the way. It's really elevating people.
Right. Yeah.
It's not about making yourself look good. It's about making others look good, which, you know, typically if you set up a team that is strong and they are doing great work, people will attribute it to the leader, but that can't be what your driving force is.
Welcome to Beyond the Ledger. Real conversations with people driving business forward. I'm Troy Ashby, CPA and host. Each episode, we unpack stories, challenges, and insights from today's top accounting and finance leaders. This podcast is brought to you by my friends over at MarketScale.
Welcome back to the Beyond the Ledger podcast. Today's guest is going to be Christy Linebarger. She's got over 25 years of talent acquisition and HR leadership experience, who believes in lifting others up in her faith-driven grit-style leadership. She's also a newly minted author and cannot wait to hear more about it. Christy, good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
That sounded like a really grand intro.
You've got an impressive background.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've known each other for quite a while now. And when I think about this podcast in general, we usually have financial leaders and business owners on. But so every now and then we're going to bring in a talent acquisition or an HR leader because people is what make these businesses grow.
Right.
And you are one of the favorites of mine in the DFW area. And it is such a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much. And I think this is the thing that we have in common, right? Just our love for people, helping them grow in their careers. And I think that's why we've made such a good partnership over the years.
Yeah, it's true. It really is. Well, so before we dive into this career, and I wish we could just start with the book. I mean, be really honest. I really just want to hear about this book. But, talk to me a little bit about maybe something that people don't see on the resume, on LinkedIn. What is that thing about Christy?
Yeah, I love that. And thanks for asking that. I think a lot of people, your LinkedIn profile starts when your career starts, but who we are starts way before that. I grew up as an Air Force brat. I mean, my mom always said that I was going to be a brat anyway, so at least I had an excuse. But we moved all the time with the Air Force. Really, every few years, I was in a new school and a new state. We moved to Hawaii at one point. We moved to Tokyo. That's where I graduated high school. So I think growing up in that environment where you're always moving, you become somebody that has to be able to adjust.
Oh, yeah.
You have to read the room. You have to make connections. You have to, know how to work with people and, kind of quickly assimilate into environments. And so these are really our skills that I learned growing up, but they really are a lot of the foundational skills that I've used in my recruiting career.
Sure.
So I think, that growing up really has equated to, me being able to talk to so many people and get to know them so quickly, building those relationships. It really set me up for this kind of career in talent acquisition.
It makes a lot of sense. I either didn't know or forgot that about you, but you've had to walk into many situations for years and immediately figure out how to gain trust.
Right. Which is what you do every time you pick up the phone and start talking with a candidate or for you, maybe a client as well.
Right.
You have to build that trust. I think that is such a foundational. I don't think that I loved it when we were doing that. I really just wanted to plant roots. But I'm so glad that I had that experience because it's really made me who I am.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so that explains a lot, too, because as you've navigated people in the people mm-hmm. business, our listeners are going through a leadership journey of their own. And whether they are a leader looking to be better or trying to figure out how to be a leader. What are some things that you've noticed in your career as far as that leadership journey?
Yeah. So it's interesting because we're talking about leadership. I think I was a manager long before I was a leader. And a lot of times we use those terms synonymously. But but I know that I was not a strong leader when I first became a manager at search firms, a couple of search firms. I was a people manager and I was running my own recs and my own book of business and managing people and their metrics. But it really, I think, was more like, why are you doing this? What aren't you doing? Here's what you're supposed to do. And that's different from being a leader.
Yeah.
So ironically, I don't think that I transitioned into true leadership until I joined Fossil. I was there for almost 10 years as an individual contributor, but I was the only tech recruiter for the company. And so at that point, I was having to build partnerships with our hiring managers, think strategically about hiring, really elevate the way that we hired. I don't know. It became more of becoming a leader,
right,
in the business. So then when I left Fossil and joined Match Group, where I was the director of TA, it was really bringing that people manager and leadership together. And it really was, up to this point, like the most magical time in my career, because I realized that leadership is not necessarily leading the way. It's really elevating people.
Right. Yeah.
It's not about making yourself look good. It's about making others look good, which, you know, typically if you set up a team that is strong and they are doing great work, people will attribute it to the leader, but that can't be what your driving force is, right? So really being able to take just those fundamentals of being a leader that really poured into people, wanted to see them become their best selves, that is really how I think I transitioned into being a true leader.
That's smart. I think a lot of people throw around servant leadership, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I've always seen in you, and I've obviously never been on your team, but the humility comes out. You know, you're like, I think people naturally trust you, and whether that's been, developed over time or not, just knowing, defining manager versus leader is huge, because I don't think a lot of people, and it's a common pitfall, a lot of people get put into that seat, mm-hmm. and weren't trained, have no idea what's going on, and they think that they're there just to manage.
Right. And I think you have to go into leadership and people management with a humility, right? Mm. I don't know. I think a lot of people, maybe they see themselves getting promoted through their career and they go, look what I did. And I really am like, oh my gosh, people believed in me, right?
It
wasn't necessarily me. It's really just people saw something in me and they were like, hey, we want you to come in and be a part of what we're doing. And you have to lead with humility. You have to strip yourself of ego.
Right.
Because it's not about you. It is about pouring into others. And if you're fortunate to get that opportunity, take what you know, take what you've learned. And it's really just a matter of passing it down and helping people become the next generation of leaders.
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of how I view it.
Yeah. It's very smart. So one of the things that, when you step into this leadership role or you're managing people, is whether it be retention is a lot of it. How do you help elevate where they're going? Like, what's Christy's story on that?
Yeah, it really starts, I think, with being authentic, right? Like, you are not going to be a successful leader if people don't trust you. And I think they have to like you also.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be drawn to you, but they have to know that you're real and they have to know that you've got their back. So I think it really starts with that. But I think if you're the right, and I don't know, this is what I learned at Match Group. If your team believes that you've got their back, you let them make mistakes, you let them, learn things, you have hard conversations with them. But if they trust that you are there for them, they will soar and you will see them rise and hit a very high bar. And I always tell my teams, I know I'm hard to work for because I set a very high bar, but I also am going to get you there. And so I think as leaders, you can't be intimidated to watch people grow thinking they might take your job. Mm. Like, that's the ultimate goal, is to create a peer rather than to keep people down and let you be, the leader,
right,
or the manager, right? Like, you want people to elevate. And if you can help people elevate so that you do feel like they're more like peers in terms of what they can do and what they contribute and their knowledge, you have been successful. So I think as leaders, we don't have to lead every meeting. let your team do that. Let them step into those shoes. You don't have to be the only one that's teaching. Learn from your team. Give them opportunities to do that. You don't have to be the only one that has the conversations with executives, although sometimes it is more appropriate that you do that, and you have to, you know, figure out what that is. But let them start seeing into your world. Mm-hmm. Bring them into your world. Will they do it right all the time? No, they won't. And that's okay, because you're there to support them and help them grow from that. But you should be replacing yourself.
I think that was where I'm so glad you just said that out loud, because that's all I'm sitting here thinking is, you know, those that are afraid that they're going to take your job. But if you don't prepare the people beneath you to elevate up, and an opportunity comes for you, then who is going to take
right.
Like, who's going to take your spot?
Exactly.
And so it does create the opportunity for you as a leader to continue to go up that ladder.
It's true. And because I have been in the business for so long, I think I have a lot of the answers for how things could, or in some cases should, be done. And so my team would come to me and say, you know, hey, we're in this situation. What should we do? And I just was so ready to give them the answer, like, I'm here to help. But I realized if I'm going to help them elevate, I can't keep giving them the answer.
Yep.
So I had to shift my approach to say, well, what do you think we should do? And it's crazy how so many times when you ask that question, what do you think we should do? Mm. They already have the answer.
Isn't that amazing?
And then you validate that. And then they know this was my idea, right?
Yep.
And it's so great when, you know, they know, like, oh, I got it. And if they come back with something and maybe you see some pitfalls in there, you have guidance, that's when you just start having those conversations about, okay, I see where you're coming from. What about this? Let's think about this. How would you do this? And that's really how you start elevating the way they think. That's how you grow leaders, and growing leaders is really what we should be doing as leaders.
Yeah, that's so great, because if you keep doing it for them, or I'm never asking for their involvement, they can't grow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you so much for
sharing. It's a lot about, I mean, you're a parent. So
I was thinking that too while you're talking,
right?
Like, this is exactly, like, stop doing that thing
right.
for my son or that my daughter.
Well, and, you know, as parents, we know that, like, we are just raising these tiny humans to become good humans that do things on their own.
That's right.
Leadership is really the same way. It really is taking people and being able to help them figure out their identity, see the potential in themselves, and be able to do, you know, this for someone else someday.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even if they do leave you, even if you do, that's fine. That's going to happen.
And that's exciting. And you should celebrate
that. You can
that.
Watch what their career does.
Right.
Yeah. Be part of their story.
Absolutely.
And then they're talking about what you did for them. And it just keeps on going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about the book. Was this? That thing. I just kind of.
Excited.
First of all, before we mention the book, and we'll put it in the show notes and share a link, but what drew you to writing the book?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always loved to write. And so, you know, I was part of a layoff, got laid off from my job after 5 years. It was devastating. The way that I processed that was starting to write. There's a lot of things out on LinkedIn, a lot of articles. I've always been a blogger. I really do love to write, but sometimes you just get so busy with life that there isn't time. And it just became such a gift to have time to write. And I wrote this article and put it out on LinkedIn. And it's about this phrase that I use as a recruiting leader: stick your beak in the ground, which is such a funny little thing.
I love it.
But it comes from the idea of, think about the bird. The bird wakes up every morning. They can't go to the pantry. They can't run to the refrigerator and get their food. They got to go out and work for it, right? So the bird gets out every day and starts sticking its beak in the ground, looking for the worm. And, you know, there are times where it sticks its beak in the ground twice and it finds its worm. And sometimes 8 hours later, it's still like, where's the dang worm, right? Like, I'm still working hard out here. As as recruiters, it's kind of like that with candidates, right?
Oh, sure.
We got to stick our beak in the ground and find that candidate. And you're not responsible for where the candidate is, but you're responsible for finding it. And so I started writing about this, but this is really life in general. Like sticking our beak in the ground is really making the commitment every day to show up, get the work done, stick with it, even when the results aren't immediate.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that's a specific goal, you're training for a marathon, or you're sitting for a certification, you're finishing your degree, or really just finding purpose in everyday life. So I know a lot of people that take shortcuts. You know, I think the rain comes sometimes and the worms come to the surface, and it's an easy, you know, we got the worm. But if you don't have that work ethic and that commitment to just stick your beak in the ground until you get the prize or you reach your goal, you're not going to be able to make it during the dry days, right? Because
yeah.
You don't have that discipline. So it's really about overcoming the obstacles in life, having that grit and that tenacity to stick with it. I think we also have to decipher, like, hey, I'm not getting anywhere here. I've hit concrete. You need to go dig different dirt,
yeah.
Right? And it's knowing when to shift and when to be creative and when to take a different approach. I also have a chapter that is stick your beak in the ground, but not your head in the sand. To be somebody of action, not avoidance, right? That fight or flight. I think a lot of people, they're scared of the hard work, or there's something holding them back from being able to just like get up and grind every day. But we have to be people of action. That's what makes us successful. And you have to model that for your teams. You have to model that for the people around you. You have to model that as a parent. I have to model that for my girls.
Yeah. I mean, such a valuable, everything you just mentioned is such a valuable lesson, because I think people avoid a lot, mm-hmm. or they don't push themselves just enough, so they're not resilient enough, or
right.
They haven't been taught grit. I think grit is something that I hear a lot from the CFOs and controllers when they're talking about change in an M&A field, or we were going to have to go through a system implementation, and they want somebody that isn't just going to give up.
Right.
You know, we don't know the exact answer, but we need to figure it out.
Right. I think we overinflate what we can do in a short period of time, and we miss out on so many successes because we give up too early.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just keep sticking your beak in the ground and commit to that.
Right.
I think especially in hard times, right? Like, we have to be able to rise above and find it inside of us to deal with hard things and you know, and realize that the magic is really inside of us, and it's really just motivating ourselves to do the hard work, even during hard times. I'm a firm believer, just from life, but also from this transition time between one job and another, that nothing in our lives is insignificant. Everything has meaning, but you got to stick your beak in the ground. You got to go find the meaning, right? Like, you have to, things are not going to come to you. You have to go out and get them. But gosh, when you do it, it's so worth it.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Let's go.
I cannot wait to pick this book up.
Thank
you. I'm so excited that you get to share it here. And like I said, I'll put it in the notes, but I can't wait to read it.
Thank
you. I know it's going to be amazing, because you've got a lot of lessons that even you and I have shared over the years.
Right.
But before I let you go,
sure.
I always ask this question, and you may have already covered, you've covered so much. You know, what is something that you can tell either yourself 5 years ago, going through some recent adversity, or just an up and coming person trying to make that shift from manager to leader?
Yeah, I think, I don't know that this is some profound wisdom, but I think you have to give yourself the grace that you give other people, right? Like, I think we are so great to lift people up, but mm-hmm. then we can doubt ourselves. So you have to give yourself like the same leeway, the same grace, the same opportunity to fail and you know, get back on your feet that you give everyone else. And
yeah.
Just go do the work, you know, it'll all work out. I think as long as you commit to doing the hard work and making the most of every day.
Awesome. Christy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Troy.
Of course.
I'm Troy Ashby, and remember, people are more than their titles, and companies are more than their balance sheets. Follow Beyond the Ledger so you never miss an episode.